You're listening to local and regional news produced by KMUN with help from our news partners. I'm Katie Frankowitz, and it's Monday, April 14th. I'll soon be joined by my co-host, Skylar Butenchin. To hear the full news broadcast along with news from NPR, tune in to KMUN Astoria 91.9 FM every weekday beginning at 7:59 a.m. And now, the news. Important funding for a North Coast hospital has been canceled after the Trump administration ended a grant program intended to help communities prepare for disasters, including earthquakes and tsunamis. Columbia Memorial Hospital in Astoria was set to receive a $14 million grant through that program run by the Federal Emergency Management Agency, or FEMA.
Yeah, it's very shocking, I think, to everybody that this program was canceled because we didn't have any indication that, you know, this was going to be the outcome.
That's Justin Gibbs, Clatsop County's Emergency Management Director. He says the hospital will still receive around $322,000 of the grant that had already been committed to cover pre-construction costs. Columbia Memorial is in the middle of a $300 million expansion project at its Astoria campus. The FEMA grant would have funded features intended to protect patients, staff, and the wider community during extreme weather events and natural disasters. Gibbs says this work aligns with the county's goals and efforts when it comes to emergency preparedness on the North Coast.
The hospital is critical infrastructure. I mean, it's really where we should be investing that money because those particular capabilities are going to help the community recover quicker and provide the critical services that are needed, you know, if we do experience a disaster.
In a statement, the hospital said it was disappointed about the loss of the funding, but was not able to provide more details yet about what it will mean for the overall project. As part of the grant program, Columbia Memorial would have been required to provide $6 million in matching funds to bring the total award to $20 million. The hospital was looking to the state to provide that match and submitted a request this spring to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means, which sets Oregon's budget policy. Even with the FEMA grant no longer on the table, State Senator Suzanne Weber believes the hospital still could see money from the state. Weber, a Tillamook Republican who represents the North Coast, does not serve on the Ways and Means Committee, but she argues the hospital expansion on a whole remains a resiliency project for the region. She called the cuts to the FEMA grant very disconcerting. You can read more about this story online at kmun.org/news. With a surge in drug-related deaths this year, the Clatsop County District Attorney wants people to be more aware of Oregon's amnesty laws regarding drug overdoses. He says it could save lives. Jasmine Lewin reports.
Since 2015, Oregon has had a statute known as the Good Samaritan Law. When someone calls 911 to report an overdose, that law protects them from being prosecuted for drug-related offenses. In 2024, Clatsop County saw 18 overdose deaths total. So far this year, there have already been 12. District Attorney Ron Brown says a lack of public awareness about the Good Samaritan Law could be contributing to the recent rise in deaths tied to the synthetic opioid fentanyl, with drug users afraid to contact emergency assistance for fear of prosecution. To Brown, a recent incident in Warrenton highlights the importance of the law. He says two people were on FaceTime doing drugs together when one of the individuals overdosed. Emergency services were not contacted and the person died. With the Good Samaritan Law, people, including those on probation, who call for emergency assistance are protected from being prosecuted for possessing drugs or for frequenting areas known for drug use. But they can still be prosecuted for other non-drug-related offenses, or for federal warrants or warrants from other states. If the person calling 911 also supplied the drugs, they could only be prosecuted for delivery and not a more serious charge. In the past, drug dealers whose clients have died of overdoses in Clatsop County could have been charged with manslaughter and convicted of criminally negligent homicide. Brown says the rise of fentanyl plays a large part in the recent surge of drug overdoses. A fentanyl overdose can require multiple applications of Narcan, a medicine used to reverse an opioid overdose, and even then, revival is not guaranteed. Brown feels that when the difference between life and death comes down to only a few minutes, a rapid emergency response is the top priority. For The Historian and KMUN, I'm Jasmine Lewin.
I'm Skylar Butenchin. Warrenton City commissioners are considering an ordinance that could remove fluoride requirements in the city's drinking water. Cities across the U.S. have added small amounts of fluoride to their drinking water as a means of reducing cavities and tooth decay for decades. But last week, U.S. Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. said he plans to instruct the Center for Disease Control to stop recommending fluoridation, citing potential impacts on neurocognitive development. Warrenton sources its fluoride exclusively from China. Public Works Director Kevin Gorman said at a meeting last week that the city anticipates a more than 20% increase in costs due to recent tariffs imposed against China by the Trump administration. And he estimates that removing fluoride from Warrenton's water would save the city around $23,000 annually. Commissioner Jess Solaccio, who has a background in public health, says she has concerns about the risks of removing fluoride from the water supply in a rural area like Warrenton that already lacks access to dental care. The city says it's now working to set a date for a public hearing on a potential ordinance to repeal the water fluoridation requirement. This story comes to us through a news partnership with The Astorian, online at dailyastorian.com. Tillamook County Commissioners recently approved multifamily housing grants for six local projects that aim to provide more affordable housing. Both the National Bank Building Project in Tillamook and the Tillamook Bay Commons Project were awarded $100,000 grants. A project proposed for Anchor Street in Rockaway Beach was awarded $80,000 to help fund four apartments located above a commercial kitchen. And three projects were given $40,000 awards: Spruce Point in Manzanita, Alder Ridge in Bay City, and Thompson Springs in Nehalem. The grants come from Tillamook County's Housing Production Solutions Fund. The fund is financed by a fee on short-term rental licenses in order to support below-market-rate multifamily housing projects across the county. This story comes to us through a news partnership with the Tillamook Headlight Herald. Oregon lawmakers are halfway through this year's legislative session. As OPB's Bryce Dole reports, three major gun bills are advancing.
The bills would enact sweeping changes to gun laws in Oregon. One bill would create a 72-hour waiting period to obtain a firearm. It would also ban rapid-fire devices. A second bill would create a state-run licensing program for gun dealers. And yet another would lay the framework to implement Measure 114, the gun law voters passed in 2022. Republicans say the bills infringe on constitutional rights while doing nothing to address the mental health problems that often lead to tragedy. Democrats argue the bills could curb gun deaths that increased 40% over two decades in Oregon. Jess Marks is with a gun safety advocacy group called Alliance for a Safe Oregon.
What we really need are folks working together on real solutions that address the lethality of firearms.
The bills will now move to the floor of both legislative chambers. I'm Bryce Dole, reporting.
Washington state lawmakers are moving forward with legislation making changes to rights for parents and students in schools. Olympia correspondent Jeannie Lindsay explains the hotly debated policy revises a parent's rights law enacted last year.
The bill revises parents' rights to access their kids' school records. It also creates a new complaint process for schools that violate students' rights. Republicans, like Senator Paul Harris, oppose the bill and say it gives too much enforcement authority to the state's education department, OSPI.
This makes OSPI king. Takes away local control from our school boards.
But Democrats and supporters of the bill say it's needed to protect vulnerable students, like LGBTQ kids. The bill passed the Senate along party lines and now heads back to the House. I'm Jeannie Lindsay in Olympia.
You're listening to KMUN News with local and regional news produced by your community radio station, KMUN 91.9 FM. For even more news, visit kmun.org/news. You can also send news tips and story ideas to news1@kmun.org. That's news, the numeral 1, @kmun.org.